Or you can acknowledge it.
Okay, I have 5 o'clock as long as we're recording, which I see the little record thing up there in the corner. Let's get this show on the road. We need a roll call.
Karen Bounds.
Here.
Loretta Broomfield. Loretta Broomfield.
Oh, Ellen, you'll need to hit the red button on the microphone. Yeah, there you go.
Here.
Yep.
I was going to say, I could see her sitting there.
And Chandler.
Here.
And Griffith.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Kevin Kelsey.
Here.
Tammy Crouch.
Here.
Kevin Latos.
Here.
Christy Lear.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Emily Pickle.
Here.
Josh Short.
Here.
Christy Walker.
Here.
Okay, would the guests please identify themselves by location? Champagne.
Colleen Dettenmeyer, IHLS.
Angela Thompson, IHLS.
Jill Trevino, IHLS.
That it?
Yep.
How about Carbondale?
Roy Brown, IHLS.
Casey Parr, IHLS.
Lynn Poppett, IHLS.
Anna Yackel, IHLS.
All right, we only have the two of us here at Mount Vernon. Illinois State Library.
Karen Egan, Illinois State Library.
Okay, and let's see, everybody else should have been called. Did I get everybody?
But Edwardsville.
I'm sorry, Edwardsville.
Right. Do you want to know whose guest's here?
Yes.
Okay, since I started, Lucky Bender, IHLS.
Stacey Bouchon, IHLS.
Jace Cook, IHLS.
IHLS. Sorry, Jace.
It's okay.
Rhonda Jonesy, IHLS.
Cassandra Thompson, IHLS.
That's it.
That's it? Okay. All right, thank you. Emily, would you pronounce your last name for me?
Pickel.
Pickel, okay. I thought that probably was it. Well, we welcome you to the board.
Thank you.
Melissa Tedesco resigned from the board, and we're happy that Emily Pickel from the Champaign School District volunteered to take the open seat. Okay, moving on. We'll go to the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered routine by the board and will be enacted by one motion. Committee and staff reports may be included as information items. Detailed information on all the items is included in the meeting packet. There will be no separate discussion unless the board member so requests, in which event the items will be removed from the consent agenda for discussion. Do we have a motion to approve the July 25th meeting minutes and the director and staff activity report?
I'd like,
so
the,
moved.
Minutes.
So moved.
I'd like the minutes totaled, please.
All right. So we will do them individually. Approval of the July 25th minutes. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second, Linda.
Okay. Kevin.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Now we need a motion and second for the director and staff activity report.
So moved.
This is Kevin Latos. This is Kevin Latos. I'll second.
Thank you. And we need a roll call again, please.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker? Yes.
Hey, Karen, I think we need to do an approval of Emily to the board. Since she's filling a position, we have to have a motion for that.
Did I miss that? Okay. Thank you.
I'll make that motion.
All right, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Tammy seconded. Could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
I can't vote for myself.
I'm sorry. I was a little distracted.
Epstein.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Okay, Emily, welcome to the board again. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're down to acceptance of July bills, attachment 5.1. Anybody have any questions about them? And if not, I would take a motion and second to approve them.
So moved. July bills.
Say your name.
Second. Kevin.
Linda. And second was who? Linda.
Or Kevin. It's either one's fine.
Okay. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Fred Broomfield?
Yes.
Mike Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, we're moving on to the July 23 financial report. Rhonda?
Good evening, everyone. I wanted to highlight some items first in the FY 2024 grant status. In July, IHLS received approval for the FY 2024 grant applications for the requested funding of all grants. And as of July 31st, there was no grant revenue that had been received. But this past week, we did receive the FY 2023 fourth quarter iLead Library Trustee Training Grant reimbursement of $60,016.13. And payments totaling $335,000 for FY 2024 CMC grant was just received. So the receipt of these payments will be reflected on the next month's financial reports. And thank you to the Illinois State Library for issuing those payments to us. Going on to the July 2023 financial reports, included in your packet are financial activities in these reports through July 31st, 2023. And as of July 31st, the target benchmark of the remaining budget should be 92% in the column of IHLS approved FY 2024 total budget remaining percentage on the statement of revenue and expenditures. And so any line items with percentages under those target benchmarks is noted with an explanation as to what was included in those expenditures at the bottom of each statement of revenue and expenditures. And then going into a little bit more on the statement of revenue and expenditures on the general fund, the revenues, the total year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 82.8%. Again, that's because we haven't received any of that big grant revenue yet. And then the total expenses year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 2.6%. And then in share, the fees for services and materials, the year-to-date actuals totaled $1,386,954.60. That represents 89.3% of the projection in the FY 2024 budget. And as of July 31st, we had collected 33.3%. So we had done a lot of annual billing, which we do every July for share. And we have gotten almost a third of that back by the end of July, which was really great. And then in the total expenditures, for share, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 85.9%. And this has to do with the large Polaris expense, annual subscriptions, and cloud platform fees that we have billed out for, all being recorded at the beginning of the year. And so in the last column of each of the statement of revenue and expenditures is titled Unaudited FY 2023 Actuals, because the audit is not complete and any final adjusting journal entries resulting from the audit have not been made. So once the audit is complete and those entries have been made, that title will change to Audited FY 2023 Actuals. Going on to the balance sheets, the general fund total cash as of July 31st was $5,052,854.19. And this balance would fund IHLS general fund operations for an estimated 12.4 months based on the FY 2024 approved expenditure levels. And that balance would fund IHLS and special revenue funds expense activity for an estimated 10.1. So I'm including that because as of July 31st, general fund is carrying all the expenditures for all the special revenue funds along with the general fund activities. And then in share, the cash and cash equivalents as of July 31st, the total is $2,745,112.38. So that's split up between three different categories. One is the reserve fund, which is $1,302,847.53. And then the committed funds for ebook cloud subscription total $54,503.27. And then the unrestricted, which is the share operating cash, totaled $1,387,761.58. And that unrestricted funds will fund share operations for approximately 7.7 months based on the FY 2024 operations budget. Does anybody have any questions for me? Thank you.
Would you repeat that? I didn't catch.
Thank you. Okay, we need a motion and a second to accept the July 2023 financial report.
Suzanne, I'll make the motion.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Who are you?
Oh, this is Chrissy Lear.
Thank you. I don't get everybody's voices this way. Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Mike Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Anna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Lakos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Bickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Moving on to the Freedom of Information Act. Josh?
We did have a commercial Freedom of Information Act request from Smart Procure. It was received for current employee and staff contact information. This is a regular annual request, and it was filled within the time allowed.
Thank you. Going on to Open Meetings Act update, attachment 8.1. Leslie?
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us in public buildings. It's great to see lots of faces around the table. There was a question at the July board meeting about how we handle closed session minutes. And we brought the question to Phil Lanzini, our counsel for general library matters, and the attached document, which is attachment 8.1, I believe, kind of tells you what relevant passages of the Open Meetings Act his recommendations are based on, and really kind of lays out the differences between open meeting minutes and closed meeting minutes. But needless to say, there is a recommendation for how to proceed with closed meeting minutes, and that's under moving forward. And basically, that recommendation is that the bylaws include a section on minutes in Article 6, Section 11. We would implement a process for the approval of closed session minutes as part of the biannual reviews that happens in January and June at the board meetings. And then for the record, that we would approve all past closed session minutes with a single motion at a future meeting. What questions do you have about the information that we're sharing from Bill?
So this is Kevin Kelsey. The attachment isn't about that. It's about financial reports, as I'm seeing it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. But 8.1, when I go onto the website, says June financial. Am I looking at the wrong place?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Maybe go one more number? It should be
no,
for the August.
Never mind. Just ignore me.
Okay.
I'm looking at the wrong thing. That's better. Well, that's a lot better.
So do we have any more questions? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. As that was an information item, do we have public comment? We don't have any as of 8:21.
We still don't have any.
We still don't have any. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Communication, Leslie.
I'm happy to formally introduce all of you to Colleen Dettenmeyer as our delivery facilities director. She's with us in the Champaign office. You may know her in her previous role with the system. She was our senior accountant, a position we are actively looking to fill at the moment. So, Colleen, would you like to talk just a little bit about your work background?
Sure, yes. So I've been with IHLS for a little over 8 years now. And although my role was in the finance department, I assisted the operations with a handful of items throughout the years. So I have good history with RFP development and assisting in project planning, as well as maintenance of buildings and all the various spreadsheets that come along with that and the development of those. And then previously in my career, I worked with nonprofit in the nonprofit industry, and I was a general manager there at a thrift store. They had a retail store, but then also was the events manager. So I'm used to wearing many hats and all the ins and outs of planning and organizing an organization. So I'm looking forward to this new role, and please reach out to me if you have questions about delivery or operations.
Thank you, Colleen. We're also happy to announce that the triennial member survey is expected to post to our members in mid-September. To be specific, that would be September 18th. Our members will have about 3 weeks to provide their input our feedback on the survey tool, and this is a really good opportunity for us to get feedback from our members, and it helps us as we look forward into the future in terms of additional or newer services.
Will that be anonymous, or do they sign off on it?
I don't believe they sign off on it, no. But there is some demographic identifying information. Are you a public library? Are you a school library? Because some questions, the responses will be, we may see them differently depending on the library type that it's coming from.
Okay, moving on to board learning. Board staff collaboration.
Yep.
Go ahead, Leslie.
That's it, you're good.
Hello. Troy, do you have that? Thank you. So as you know, the board and staff collaborate constantly on membership business, and we do appreciate the time that you all volunteer to help us with the jobs that we do every day. We do use email quite a bit, and you are all assigned an email address from IHLS. We try to avoid using your personal or work email address to avoid having any FOIA requests forwarded on those emails. You can access your emails on your phone or other devices, and there are instructions in the board intranet, and they were also given to you whenever you were onboarded onto our board. And IT staff is really good and always available for technical questions or issues. If you don't get a hold of them right away, they're really good at getting back with you quickly and making sure that you understand whatever challenges you're facing. We do ask you to check your email about twice a week. That's probably the best. Just because if there are meeting cancellations or changes, or maybe a special meeting is being called or a poll is being sent, it helps us to get things together and get the information to you as quickly as possible. And we do ask that you reply to our communications as soon as possible. We ask this because this best helps us to support the goals of the board and help you with any needs that you might have. Our goal is to provide meeting materials as far as in advance as possible. Next slide, please. Thank you. Some of our work is contingent upon your response. So there are times when staff cannot complete a task or assignment without input from board members. There are staff liaisons that sit in on our committee meetings, and they do that to kind of help you with your meeting flow and in an advisory role. The executive assistant, that's me. I support the executive director and the board members. Among other things, I schedule meetings and events. I create calendars, documents, poll members, ensure legal compliance for Open Meetings Act, certification, statement of economic interest. I'm kind of a nag sometimes, but I find that sometimes that's what's needed to get everything in on time. We do ask that you register for board and committee meetings in L2 as soon as possible. We want to ensure a quorum for your meetings. That way, say the meeting doesn't have a quorum, we can cancel it ahead of time, and that way people don't show up to the meeting and are sitting there waiting on others, and then, you know, they set that time aside. So we do that for you, hoping that we don't waste any of your precious time. The attendance at board.illinoisheartland.org confirms when you're unable to attend a meeting. Unfortunately, L2 doesn't have an option for saying I cannot attend. And it's important for us to know if you can't attend, again, for us to be able to ensure a quorum. And especially now with these new rules that we're going to go over a little later with OMA and attending in person and having a quorum in physical locations. Who to contact? Generally, board members don't interact with most of the staff, but they do work with the executive director and committee staff liaisons, sometimes the executive assistant. If you do have questions, you can reach out to me, the executive director, board president, and if we can't help you, we'll certainly point you in the right direction. Board source. The chief executive has the responsibility of implementing the board's directives. Staff members play a key role in helping the board chief, executive, and board do their work well. This information is from Board Source, and that I'm excited to say is something that we've recently joined to help us with all things board related, and hopefully with my efforts to improve board engagement. And so as you'll see there, there are a lot of information that Board Source has on how we should support committees and responding to inquiries between meetings and those type of things. And this is information that will be valuable to our staff and helping us to relate to the board members. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. PLAW, Leslie.
Yes, thanks, Karen. PLAW is the Paid Leave for All Workers Act, and last Thursday we had a members matter session, and at the physical location was Heron Public Library, but we had many, many members attending remotely, which is the beauty of that hybrid environment, because that isn't an official meeting, that's just a learning opportunity. There's no worries about who attends how. Anyway, so Karen Milner, who's our one of our legal partners from Fort Harrison, had a presentation, and so I've asked Jill just to give us a short overview of just the highlights of what we should be aware of for PLAW.
Absolutely. Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. So we're getting into everybody's favorite topic, employment laws. I need to see some smiles and faces. This is exciting. So paid leave for all workers is a new law that's going to be in effect as of January 1st of 2024. We put an update out there on our website in May. So if you have not seen that update, it's what we know now about PLAW. You can go out on the news site and you can see frequently asked questions. But we got a lot of questions once we posted that information out there. Are there any updates? What's new? Unfortunately, there's not much that's new, other than we are required as employers to give up to 40 hours for this leave. We cannot ask individuals why they're taking this leave, which adds a whole other dimension to it. And, you know, the issue too was part-time workers. How does that apply? There's a lot with regards to if you front load employees the 40 hours, or if you use an accrual basis for that, because it's 1 hour for every 40 hours worked. So in that presentation, Karen did kind of recommend to us that it's best for exempt employees to maybe have them front loaded, and then the non-exempt employees to go ahead and do one for every 40. Because let's face it, if somebody works 10 hours in the library, do you really want to go ahead and front load them 40 hours? That really could be, you know, operational issues with your library and whether or not you can even open your library depending on the amount of staff that you have. So there's a lot of issues with, do you accrue it? Do you front load it? Another recommendation was, do you mix it in with paid time off, or do you put it as a separate type of leave? The recommendation was to put it as a separate type of leave. If you put it as a separate type of leave, you don't have to pay out a termination. But when you're putting it as a different type, or in mixed in with PTO, they're just mixing it all together, and there's a potential to pay out on termination that any hours that were accrued for that. Now, accrual hours, you do have to pay out for accrual hours. So there are so many dynamics. I literally could take up another hour of your time, but I'm not going to do that. You're welcome. So I just wanted to kind of go over the basics, because there's a lot of moving pieces. And unfortunately, they put this law out there and they haven't made any updates. We're hoping that maybe in the next month or two, there will be some updates. Because as an HR person, I'm like, okay, well, if somebody goes out on family medical leave and I can't ask them why they're going out on leave, like, how does this help me determine how I can help the employee better in utilizing which type of leave? So there's a lot of moving parts. I definitely recommend that you all go out to our website, and I'm gonna see if I can put that little link in there. I'm gonna put a little link out there in the chat session that just talks about just frequently asked questions. I am available too, if anybody has any questions, board members, your libraries, please feel free to give them my number. I'll be more than happy to talk to them. As we know more, we're going to publish that information. I think it was a really good session because it allowed for a lot of Q&A at the very end, and it helped people at least understand it a little bit better. So that's my PLAW update.
Thank you.
I'm going to copy that link that she put in chat into everyone's email, because in the rooms you can't see the chat. So.
Oh, thank you very much.
Go.
Could I ask just one question?
Sure.
So that is this, are you saying the interpretation was that if the people were had benefits, had vacation days and sick days, that this covered that without any extra days? Is that not what they're saying now?
Correct. They are saying that you, it's best to designate it as a separate leave because it's a whole separate law. So when you mix it in with the other ones, it makes it different. Now for us, I can use a good example and maybe this will help a little bit. So we have that personal leave that we give to folks as of 7/1. And what we're going to do potentially is to designate that as PLAW leave. So that's already separate. So we're just taking our personal leave and putting it into a different bank. So that's the easiest way for us here at IHLS to do that. But you do have to designate it separately, and you can't ask. So you can't put it in sick leave, because with sick leave comes policies that are typically in your handbook. You know, you're out for so many days, or somebody calls in sick. Vacation time, you use it for vacation. So it kind of really depends on how your policies are set up. And that's why it's not really a black and white answer. I hope that helped a little bit, Ann.
Well, I'm just thinking that instead of giving them vacation days, we'll give them PLAW days.
You could potentially do that. I mean, because as long as you give them the 40 hours, that's key. Now, two, this does not apply to schools. Schools are exempt from this PLAW.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask a question for Ron? What's the impact on the balance sheet? Do we have to budget for more liabilities as a result of this?
No, like Jill said, we already have a personal leave that we can easily transfer into this PLAW leave instead. So for us, there won't be any change. And actually, the way our personal time or leave policy states is that they get paid that time out at termination. But with PLAW, you don't have to in certain circumstances. So it may benefit us actually, in a sense, there for our situation specifically, and how we're going to work that PLAW into our personal leave.
Okay, thank you.
When somebody takes time off, mm-hmm. does it take from the PLAW bank first?
Nope, they have to tell you what bank they're taking it from. So you don't get to designate what bank that is. They can say, I'm taking PLAW time for, you know, the next 2 days. And you have to say pretty much, okay. They do have a 7-day stipulation right now written in the rules that it's best if it's foreseeable leave, 7 days. But if it's unforeseeable leave, they can pretty much tell you the day they want to take it. And that makes it really tough, especially right. with operational needs
right.
and keeping
that's
the library.
That's exactly
why
I second.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
Moving on to HR source grant for IHLS members. I think, Jill, that's you too.
Woo! Okay, great. So this is a very exciting opportunity for our members. This is mainly for our public library members. So as we know, HR is very complicated. There's a lot of, well, it depends. There's a lot of legal fees involved when any of our libraries have issues come up, and we know how expensive that can be. So as part of our operational plan for this year, we have designated what is our Illinois Heartland Library System HR Source Grant. So we have two different tiers: libraries with IPLR numbers and operating expenditures less than $130,000 will need to contribute $100 for HR Source membership, and libraries with over $130,000 would be $250 for HR Source membership. Now, this is if you are not already an HR Source member, because we're trying to encourage participation. And so this is going to be for new members. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a post on our website, and I talked to Carol, and she's gonna have this done for us hopefully by the end of this week, and we'll be able to get this communication out to our member libraries. So what you have to do is you have to go ahead and apply for it, because there is a cost, and depending on how big your library is, maybe you can't afford the $100 or the $250 commitment. But an HR source membership can cost in the thousands. So what we have done is designated a specific dollar amount set away to help our members achieve that with very little cost, with this $100 to $250.
That's great.
So so what they'll do is they'll go ahead and they'll say, yes, I'm interested. They'll fill out the little form online with the information that we need. And then when September 30th comes around, we can go through, okay, who's interested? How much money did IHLS set aside for this? And then we can determine who we can go ahead and give that grant opportunity to. So it's very exciting, because $100 and $250 is a lot less than a $425 per hour attorney fee. Because one great thing about HR Source is they have that hotline, and attorneys actually answer that hotline. Yes, they have a really cool hotline, an HR Source hotline. And they have attorneys that will actually, and you're unlimited. You can ask as many questions as you would like. So it's a really great opportunity for libraries, and they have a lot of libraries as members. Rails does a similar program. So I think it's very exciting that we're able to offer the same type of opportunity for our member libraries, just because library directors have to wear so many hats. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know everything when it comes to the HR laws and regulations. Sometimes you just need to talk to people to talk it out. So I think this will be a really great resource for them, and we're super excited. Anybody have any questions for me on that grant?
Is that $100 a month or $100 total?
That is going to be $100. It's going to go from a period of, the membership will start on 10-1, and it will go until 6-30. Because their fiscal year begins 7-1, so it won't be, it's, what is that, 10 months? So it won't be quite, quite a year. And then what we'll do is we'll analyze how well this opportunity, you know, presented itself, and we'll see what we can do about next fiscal year.
Thank you.
Great.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Jill on that? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to human resources. The staff report. Leslie?
We sent the staff report yesterday. So, and there's one hiring recommendation on it. We appreciate you letting us send it to you later in the cycle. We're almost right before the board meeting, because we're trying to time our interviews so that they coincide with board meetings. Do you have any questions about the recommendation?
Okay, hearing none, we would take a motion and a second to approve.
Josh, I make that motion.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Kelsey. Second, Linda.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pichel?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, there's no secondary employment this month. Move on to personnel, none this month. So, Karen Egan, we're down to the Illinois State Library.
Great. Good evening, everyone. First, I have to tell you, thank you. The State Library is honored that you have asked us to be one of the sites for your board meetings, and we're thrilled to have Ann and Christy here with me today. It's much more fun than being in my office joining you. So thank you for inviting us to come into your board meetings and participate. I do not have much of a report for you because I don't want to preempt what Greg is going to say next week at the joint Heartland and Rails board meeting. So I will just ask if any of you have any questions that I can answer. We are really looking forward to having you in Springfield next week.
Karen, that next week is our staff at your library.
Yes, so do I have the week wrong?
You might. We haven't set a date for the joint system meeting. That's probably in April.
So we'll think
you do. Other things we'd want to talk about next week. But it'll come up. So we're good. I just wanted to make everybody else aware that there's no other meeting next week.
I was freaking out.
Yeah. Well, then, let's things start truly confused at the State Library, let me tell you. Sometimes, you know how things go on? Well, let me give you a couple things. You know, we recently announced the FY24 grants. We're excited about that. We have been, the school district library grants are open for application right now. And Leslie, tomorrow I will send you guys an announcement that you can add to your newsletter. I know we did an email blast directly to every person that applied for the grant last year, as well as the superintendent. And I think we already have 100 applications that have been received. So they are coming in fast and furious at this point. We are really looking at, we seem to be getting a lot of questions right now about the book banning legislation. And just for the school librarians in the room, this round of school district library grants will be submitted prior to the January 1 deadline when that legislation takes effect. So it is not applicable to the school grants this year, if you get that question. However, it will be applicable to the public library per capita grants when the public libraries begin to apply. With that, do you guys have any questions? It just seems like we are busy as beavers in the state library.
Karen, do we have, this is Leslie, do we have any idea about when JCAR will start on administrative rules for that legislation?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do not know that, but I know that drafts are being created, and I don't think that they have been published in the Illinois Register as of yet to be open for comment.
Okay. Thank you.
But they will state that the library must adopt the ALA Bill of Rights or provide a policy that states they will support intellectual freedom and not banning books. That's just kind of an overview. Don't quote me on that, but that's basically what the legislation will be proposed to say.
Great. Thanks.
Sure. Oh, I can tell you, I don't know if any of you attended the state fair this year. We had authors reading in the Secretary of State tent at the state fair, and the response was overwhelming. I've got to tell you this. I was reminded of you, those of you who have been around for a while, do you remember when the systems did like reading in the barn or something like that at the farm shows? But mm-hmm. yeah. We had 100 books of each of the authors that they were signing and handing out to the children who attended. They were gone in an hour. That's yeah. the type of crowd that we had the first day. There was a crowd already forming of families before the Secretary of State tent even opened. So we will be doing that again next year because response was overwhelming.
That's terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Jenna Griffith. Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Are you going to do that at the DeCoin State Fair down south here?
Not this year. I wish we could, but maybe another year. This year was kind of an experiment to try it at the Springfield State Fair. But I can see it potentially in the future because the executive office was thrilled by the response.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to committee reports. The executive committee did meet, and we talked about budget and finance, which met, and policy and membership, which met. We discussed some of the issues that we will be discussing in the upcoming committee meetings, and essentially what you're hearing tonight. And that was executive. Moving on to budget and finance. Kevin, Latos?
Yeah, we had a pretty basic meeting. We approved the bills to pass on to you tonight, and as well as the financial report. Went over that with Rhonda. 11-minute meeting. So.
It was a record.
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay, moving on to policy and membership. I'm going to ask Ellen Poppett to recall this, if she would. We discussed, I've slept since then and I've been to too many committee meetings. We discussed the Open Meetings Act and we discussed some changes in policy that we're going to have upcoming for future meetings. Can you elaborate, please?
And because I printed the draft minutes, Karen.
Good.
So I can help you out with that. The committee, there was a motion and second made to table any final revisions on the public comment policy until the policy on attendance of meetings by electronic means is revised in order to make sure that all the language is consistent along all the revisions that we make. A motion and second were made to approve the membership applications from, and Leah, correct me if I'm mispronouncing this, Jeff, the school district in one of the school districts that has applied, and Smithton. And so those are going to be passed on for you to you for later considerations, I'm sorry. And then there was focus, as Karen mentioned, about discussion of the Open Meetings Act and board meeting attendance.
Thank you. Facilities and operations, personnel and advocacy and education did not meet this month. Moving on to the partner reports, Association of School Library Educators, Leah Gregory.
Good evening, everyone. Right now we are working feverishly to get ready for the Illinois School Library Workers Symposium. Currently we have 230 applicants to attend that. It's split about 55% for Rails territory, 40% for us. There's a chunk of people who are not in a system or who don't know their system. We have several schools in our area who are attending who are not in a system. So I'm hoping to have them as members soon. So we had our grant writing workshop, which we partnered with IELTS and the Library Book Selection Service last week. And the Illinois State Library sent Gwen and Rita to join us. And that took place on August 10th. We had 19 attendees. Rails, Jeanette Durecki and I were collaborating on a page. We're calling it a one-pager, which the IELTS rep to the Illinois State Board of Education has agreed to help us disseminate to all Illinois superintendents through their communication system for school districts. It addresses differences between what certified librarians can do versus certified teachers versus having a paraprofessional. It also is going to include data from various research that has published about the impact of a school library on schools' academic achievements. And then we are also working feverishly to get ready for the IELTS conference, which takes place October 1st through 3rd. I'm presenting jointly with Rails about the symposium. And we are also presenting with Jeanette Durecki on the Library Data Project, which has a new name. It's being called the School Library Advocacy Through Education. The acronym is SLATE. And then IELTS has actually asked us, Rails, and Chicago Public Schools to present on opening day of that conference about how the systems and how we serve our school libraries. And then our ongoing efforts are always about book bans. We're working on the regional response team and just continued advocacy for school libraries in Illinois.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to Illinois Library Association. Ryan's not here this evening. Does anyone else have anything on ILA? Hearing none. Moving on to Illinois State Library Advisory Committee, which did not meet, so we'll keep moving. Okay, on to unfinished business. The board committees, attachment 15.1. I only heard from about half of you as far as specific requests to be on certain committees, and I was able to put you where you asked me to. Most of you stayed where you were from last year. And then, of course, the new folks, I did plug in where we had some holes. We do need a motion and roll call vote to pass this tonight. So unless you have some serious reservations about where you were placed, I would entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved, Linda.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Sarah. I'll second it.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Kristen Greer?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Piquel?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Okay. Fiscal year 2024 board meeting attendance, attachment 15.2. Leslie?
Hi again. This is basically what the policy and membership and the executive committees looked at for their August meetings. We did add additional information regarding committees. So again, this is what policies potentially will need to be changed. What is the relevant parts of legislation or citations, and how might we go forward? So since those two committees met in August, one was just last week, we did get a little more feedback regarding how we would proceed with committees. And you will see that near the bottom of the document. There's a slight difference in how IHLS board committees would operate as opposed to share committees, because share committees have the overall... The gist of it is that if a committee is advisory only, meaning it doesn't make standalone decisions or recommendations that don't also then go to the board, which is definitely how the IHLS board committees function. If they don't do that, then there's not a requirement for physical attendance as long as that's documented in the organization's or the public body's policy. So that would be our bylaws, which is great because Kevin mentioned that his committee was 11 minutes long. Really wouldn't want everybody to drive to wherever for 11 minutes and just turn around and go back. I think that this is a good way to go forward with this. Also regarding share committees, because some of the share committees, their recommendations do stand alone from time to time. The good thing about share committees is that those are all staff working in libraries in public locations. So while the agendas might be a little long, and maybe a little bit, a lot of information about possible locations to attend from, that will allow share members to not have to be inconvenienced as well when they have their committee meetings. It's just a process of what those committee agendas look like. And we also shared with you the results of the board survey. So we really appreciate that everybody responded. And this was reviewed by the executive committee at their meeting last week, which is why we have two new locations, a C.E. Brehm Library in Mount Vernon and the Illinois State Library, because those are convenient for some of you based on where you live. As far as how this goes forward, I believe that, as Ellen mentioned earlier, the changes should come from the public comment policy and then meetings via electronic means policy, and then wrap everything up, make sure that the bylaws agree with all of the changes that were made. Questions, Leslie?
Can I make one comment really quickly? I think it's sure. The Electronic Meetings Act revision that comes first, or the electronic meetings attendance comes first.
Okay, good. No problem. That's your committee. And you meet before that executive, right?
So, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Kevin. So looking at like the way that the committees will have to be set up, does that mean, for instance, on the finance committee, the bills and the finance report are going to go forward regardless? Or do we still vote to send those on or vote to table something or have something pulled out?
On the tabling, I'm not sure, because what you're doing is making a recommendation toward the body, the committee as a whole, right?
Okay.
So I think that we can continue to work as we have, since the ultimate decision rests with the board as a whole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So we could still vote on, you know, for instance, the bills, and, you know, if there was something within them, we could make the recommendation to the board that they don't approve it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
I think it's still going to be the same process. It just, because like Leslie said, we're still going to ultimately, the decision is going to be at the board meeting, the final decision.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see that happening, but. Yeah, and I'm just trying to understand how we operate.
That's where some of us have been for a couple weeks now. Lots of questions. Josh, you had a question?
Yeah, what do we do for those weird, like, special board meetings that are, like, 5 to 10 minutes?
We need to talk about that at another time.
Okay.
Once we have that resolved. That's one thing that we've not brought to Bill for a recommendation.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. New business. fiscal year 2024 member at large recommendation. As you saw on the board committee attachment, I recommend Josh Short to serve as the member at large on the executive committee. That does not require a vote. Okay, the Ethics Commission. Leslie?
Okay. The Ethics Commission is something that we've had in place since year one of being IHLS. And I can tell you that that is comprised of three individuals that have staggered two-year terms. So right now, Kevin Latos is starting his second of a two-year term. I made recommendations to Karen. We discussed it. And she is supportive of it. So the recommendations are that Kevin Kelsey and Jenna Griffith begin two-year terms starting this month, and then in two, and then at the point that their terms expire or they're off the board, if that comes sooner, then we would have to have a recommendation to replace them. But in the 12 plus years that we've had this in place, we've not had an occasion for the commission to actually meet. And if you have an opportunity to take a look at our ethics ordinance, that pretty much spells out what situations would require that committee to, or that commission to meet in the first place. We would need you to approve this recommendation if you're in favor of it.
Okay, so that's adding Jenna Griffith and Kevin Kelsey for two-year terms. We do need a motion and a second to pass this.
It's Kevin Latos. I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Christy Lair. I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Ed Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Karen Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to membership considerations, attachment 16.2. Leslie, do you want to comment?
As Ellen mentioned earlier, we, thanks to Leah Gregory and making site visits to our member libraries, we now have two new school library members. One is Jeff School District or Consolidated School District in Wayne County, and the second is Smithton CCSD, which is in St. Clair County. So once the way this works is that once the board, the approval is from, it happens at the Policy and Membership Committee, or they make a recommendation for approval, then it goes to the board. If the board approves, then all that documentation goes to the State Library where the final decision is made. But it's very exciting to have new members, and especially school library members.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to accept this.
This is Ann. Oh my God.
I think I heard Ann.
You did.
Linda.
Can we have a second?
Linda.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Karen Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, moving on, fiscal year 2024 board members and mentees. A couple of years ago, we paired new board members with veteran members as extra support during the first year of participation. So make sure you make use of that if you new board members have any questions about what we're doing. Hopefully we can answer your questions. Okay, fiscal year 2024 annual meeting. Leslie?
Our annual meeting is in October of each year. So it's we try to have it the month following when we submit our annual report to the Illinois State Library. So that's October. Because of the timing for the Illinois Library Association conference, we moved the October meeting to the fifth Tuesday of the month, which happens to be October 31st. So I'm not saying that that's a theme or anything for our annual meeting, but I am saying that we will have it. The physical location for that will be the Edwardsville office. What we have done in the past and what we intend to do this year is to have the annual meeting that begins at 4. It begins at 3. I missed a meeting. Okay. Stacy, why don't you tell us what we know about the annual meeting?
The annual meeting will be from 3 to 5 p.m. We will have some light refreshments and soft drinks and hopefully a few speakers like we did the last time. And we hope that you guys can come out and attend and celebrate all the accomplishments of IHLS.
Thank you. Good to know. Okay. So, and then the regular board meeting will begin at 5. So, and that's available at all the locations that we have this evening. For the regular meeting.
Okay, thank you. Agenda building. What do we want on the September board agenda? We will have the fiscal year 23 audit presented by the auditors and the narrative that are components of the annual report. And I'm sure that will take a while.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
Sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
I was wondering, we had talked before about relooking at the evaluation for the director. I know the executive committee was looking at an evaluation app. Wondered if we were going to do that to match it to the job description. And then also we were told in June that we would know what goals were set for the director. In July, and that hasn't happened, and it didn't happen at this meeting, so I was wondering if that would be happening at the next meeting.
No. I need to get familiar with that program that was introduced at the meeting the other day, and once we get into that, I hope to have more information to address what you've asked, but I need some time to get myself familiar with that new program. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. And I also would recommend that if we were doing evidence-based, that the board gets some, once you get through the process and learn it, that the board gets actual training, not only on the app, but on that process. I think that would be very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have anything else that we would like to put on there? All right. No public comment again. Announcements. Do we have any announcements that need to be made? Hearing none. You know what comes next. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
You have it.
Do we have a second?
I'll second. Linda.
Thank you. All right, that motion, we don't have to have a roll call for, so thank you very much for your participation this evening. And we will be sending out information for the committee meetings because obviously policy will need to meet and the others will meet as needed. But I know policy is going to meet, so yeah. Thank you very much for your attendance tonight.
Thanks, Karen.